The next couple of weeks, I would like to look at this idea of grace, And because we are United Methodists who have a Wesleyan focus, and for those who may not know, John Wesley and his brother Charles founded the United, the Methodist movement. And they started in small groups, very focused on studying the Bible. And as the community began to know this and the ministry began to become more popular, they would call them Bible thumpers or Methodists, to be mean, right? And the Methodist part of that stuck. And through the years, we have been called different things as far as the church. But now we are called the United Methodist Church. And so, anyway, because we have a Wesleyan focus, because the Wesley brothers, I would like to help you have a better understanding of John's concepts of God's grace. And to be honest with you, one of the primary reasons why I am a United Methodist pastor is because of John Wesley's understanding of personal holiness and social holiness. Anybody ever heard of those two terms before? Personal holiness and social holiness. There's a fairly wide range of different types of churches. On one end of the spectrum, there are churches that primarily speak of personal salvation and a person's relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So that's one end of the spectrum. On the other end of the spectrum, there are churches that totally focus on social holiness, working with the poor, feeding the hungry, etc. And in this case, you may attend worship and rarely hear of accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so those are the two extremes of this spectrum that I am speaking of today. But John Wesley put personal holiness and social holiness together. And that's one thing I love about the United Methodist Church, at least the way they understand Scripture, and that it is a both and not an either or situation. Does that make sense? So God is the one who acts, and because of what God has done for us, we offer our lives back to God through a life of service. Let's say that together. God is the one who acts, and because of what God has done for us, we offer our lives back to God through a life of service. Does that make sense to everyone? So as we continue to think about that, Wesley brought out a distinctive emphasis, and the early Methodists in particular were concerned about inviting people to experience God's grace and to grow in their knowledge and love of God through disciplined Christian living. Well, as you know, in our society today, discipline of any form has pretty much flown out the window, right? But in this day, and I hope in the days to come for us, this idea of disciplined Christian living will spark new life. They place primary emphasis on this idea of Christian living, on putting faith and love into action. And this emphasis on what Wesley referred to as practical divinity is still a trademark of United Methodism today. The distinguishing shape of our theological heritage. Now, what's theology again? O-L-O-G-Y is always what? The study of, and in our case, T-H-E-O, theo, is God. So we're talking about, in theology, we're talking about the study of God. And so the distinguishing shape of our theological heritage, in other words, the history of beliefs of the United Methodist Church, can be seen not only in this emphasis on Christian living, but also in Wesley's distinctive understanding of God's saving grace. Although Wesley shared with many other Christians a belief in salvation, personal salvation by grace, he combined them with a powerful way to create distinctive emphases for living a full Christian life. And so, as we talk about this, we're talking about the overarching sense of God's grace. And Wesley broke that down into three particular kinds of grace. Now, God does not have, probably, I mean, from our studies, he just is graceful, right? A graceful God. But for us to understand better. Wesley broke it down into three different types of grace, and that's what we're going to be talking about over the next couple weeks. The first is prevenient grace. Some of you Methodists may find these terms familiar. The second is justifying grace, and the third is sanctifying grace. And so grace is central to our understanding of Christian faith and life. Grace can be defined as the love and mercy given to us by God because God wants us to have it. So many times we as Christian people, even though we believe in Jesus Christ, so many times we tend to think of God as being a judgmental, an angry parent type God, right? I've thought of that at times in my life, right? And this is not the type of God that we understand after Christ for God to be. God really wants us to have His grace, His love, His mercy, His forgiveness. Not because of anything that we have done to earn it, which is the amazing thing and a hard concept for us human beings to understand, right? You get the first starting five of the basketball team because you work your rear end off, right? Right? Everything in life that we do, at least that I've experienced, to have success in it, you have to work hard at it. Amen? And that is why it is so hard for us to understand this idea of grace from God, because there is no work to be done. God, through Christ, has already done the work. Can we kind of begin there and maybe work through that a little bit? All right? So in Ephesians, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." Not a gift. It is the gift, right, of God. Not the result of works so that no one may boast. Not the result of works so that no one may boast. Our United Methodist heritage is rooted in a deep and profound understanding of God's grace. This incredible grace flows from God's great love for us. Do you remember John 3:16? If you remember it, let's say it together, right? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life." Now, why do you think the church has raised that up to a point where most of us who've been around for very long, and maybe some of us who aren't even Christians, know what John 3:16 is? This one verse summarizes the entire gospel. The ability to call to mind God's love and God's gift of Jesus Christ is a rich resource for our theology and faith. As you know, John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, described again these three different types of grace, or within God's grace, different maybe time frames of how we experience God's grace. The first is prevenient grace, the second is justifying grace, and the third is sanctifying grace. And today, I just want to quickly glance over these, and we'll get into them deeper next week. With prevenient grace, Wesley understood that understood grace as God's active presence in our lives. Now, whenever we think of the prefix P-R-E in English, what do we normally think of? What does that mean? Comes before, right? Prevenient grace. And so this idea of prevenient grace is before we have come to our knees in repentance, before we have believed upon Jesus Christ as God's Son and our Savior. It's before we believe that Jesus died for us on the cross and that God raised Him from the dead. Prevenient grace is that burning fire within us to learn more, that emptiness that so many of us try to fill with the wrong thing when all we're really searching for is God. Right? It's prevenient grace is not present or not dependent on human actions or human response. It is a gift that is always available, but that can be refused. Wesley understood prevenient grace to be God's grace that stirs up within us a desire to know God, right? It empowers us to respond to God's invitation to be in relationship with God. And you might be saying, well, wait, that's kind of messed up. Why would that be? But remember, everything starts with God's grace, the gift, right? And so we can't even respond until God has allowed us to respond through prevenient grace. Does that make sense? Right? We don't even know how to respond or even an interest in responding until we have experienced God's prevenient, what Wesley calls prevenient grace. God's grace enables us to discern differences between good and evil. It makes it possible for us to choose good. God takes the initiative in relating to humanity. We don't have to beg for this gift, right? We don't have to beg and plead for God's love and God's grace. God actively seeks us. We should get an amen for that. So many times we think of God as, oh yeah, well that's interesting, but think about it like this. He is the creator of all that is. He is the creator of everything that has come before, everything that will ever come again. He is the creator of this moment. He is the creator of you. He knew you before you were even born. If you've always been told that you were an accident, you weren't meant to happen, God is saying, oh no, I had plans for you since your conception. God knows every word on your tongue before you speak it. Does he like every word on your tongue before you speak it? I know he didn't like all of the words on my tongue before I speak it, right? So that's prevenient grace. Prevenient grace. God's active presence in our lives. And I just want to give you a teaser about justifying grace. Justifying grace. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And again, what does the prefix RE usually mean? When we say redo, what does that mean? Right? So do you hear the hint in the scripture that there once was a relationship with God? Right? And now, for some reason, God has to reconcile us back to him. You hear that? Now, it doesn't get into all that, but just that one word tells us, in Christ, God was reconciling the world. Something happened that the relationship fell apart. And now God is reconciling us back to himself. And also in his letter to the Roman Christians, Paul wrote, but God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. How many times would you give your life to your worst enemy? How many times would you lay your life down for someone that you absolutely despise? But God proves his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. These verses show us this idea of justifying grace, of our pardon and restoration. And through the work of God in Christ, our sins are forgiven, our relationship with God is restored, and for John Wesley, the image of God which has been distorted by sin, that relationship that's broken, right, is renewed within and through Christ's death. All right, so today we've talked about this idea of grace. We've talked about prevenient grace. And what does PRE mean again? Comes before. And so with prevenient grace, what is it that we're talking about? Comes before salvation. Yes. So prevenient grace comes before salvation. It is a gift of God. It is nothing that we have done at all. Amen? As a matter of fact, it is because of what Wesley would call prevenient grace, or God's grace, that we even respond and have a willingness to respond and possibly accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, right? That's what prevenient grace is. And then as we come closer, justifying grace is that moment, right? That moment, and we'll get into it more, but that moment when, whether it's metaphorically or literally or both, right? I guess it would need to be both. So it could either be, you could come to your knees in your heart, right? I suppose we could come to our knees physically and not really mean it in our heart, couldn't we? Right? Right? And a lot of us do that, right? But whenever you come to your knees in your heart, or you do that and you show that physically by coming to your knees before God and asking for forgiveness, God reconciles us to Him through Jesus Christ. And that is what Wesley would call justifying grace. Folks, I know a lot of this is kind of thick, maybe you might think, but this is a primary belief in all churches. God's grace, whenever you're believing in Jesus Christ and what God has done through Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what church you go to. I mean, there are different ways that they emphasize it, right? But everyone needs to understand God's grace. Because although we have a need to respond, and because of the grace given to us, we will respond when we truly experience that grace. Right? This is the way that John Wesley understood, just made it simplified it, you might say, with the prevenient grace, justifying grace, and then sanctifying grace as the life after what? Salvation. So you have the life before salvation, prevenient grace, you have justifying grace, which is the moment of salvation, and you have sanctifying grace. And we'll move on to talk about this idea of perfection, right? Wesleyan idea of perfection, and it's simply loving God and loving neighbor, right? So I hope this will maybe wet your whistle, so to speak, as my dad used to say, about what might be coming next week, because these are very important topics about God's grace in our life and the way that we can respond to them. Amen? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for your amazing gifts in our life. Thank you so much for what Jesus has done for us, what you have done through Christ in our life. Help us, Lord, to respond to you. And if we haven't, God, accepted you as our Lord and Savior through Jesus, we just ask, God, that you would fill us full of your Spirit, that even if now is not the right time, that you would plant in us a seed to open the door to your grace, to your forgiveness, to your reconciliation, Lord. We love you so much. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.